Welcome to this year's Money Makeover Challenge. Our candidates have started their financial journeys and they are really working hard at all the tasks we've set them. But a really important aspect of financial wellness is actually mental wellness, because financial stress can cause emotional stress, which impacts our relationships and our workplace. And when it comes to managing our money, we also need to be aware of our money emotions. You know, what makes us spend? Why does money make us feel so anxious? So today I'm joined by Dr. Tesego Rametsi, who is the Group Head of Health and Wellness at ABSA, to give a little bit of a different perspective to our candidates' financial journey. So welcome, Dr. Tesego, and I know you are a big fan of Money Makeover.
Thank you so much, Maya. Of course, I am a fan of Money Makeover. And then the first reason I'm a fan is because it's sponsored by ABSA. We are about empowering Africa's tomorrow together, one story at a time. And I firmly believe that Money Makeover actually fits in quite well with our purpose, you know, how we empower our customers, our employees, our clients, and how they tell their stories, because Money Makeover is all about that. So I'm really, really excited that we continue to be part of this journey and changing people's life and impacting it positively.
Well, thank you. And thank you for joining us today to give us your insights, because, you know, this relationship between financial stress and mental health feels sometimes a little bit to me like a chicken or egg situation. So, you know, that we know that if we're under financial pressure, this can impact our mental well-being, but it can also actually start with mental well-being in the first place. So, for example, if I'm stressed, I overeat, you may be more likely to make impulsive purchases to make yourself feel better. And maybe you also just you're a bit depressed, so you start slipping behind on bills. How do you identify the triggers? How can you watch out for these sorts of things?
Yeah, so Maya, absolutely. I mean, you've made the connection. There's definitely a connection and a link between our mental well-being and our financial well-being. So not being financially in a great place can impact on our mental well-being. And also the mental illnesses that can present as impulsivity. And one of those ways of, that manifesting could be overspending. So I'm going to spend a bit of time really trying to, distill what that means. So if one is unable to meet their financial needs, so, I've heard, this saying that do you have a lot of month left, after your money, something like that. So if people are struggling to make ends meet, they're unable to save for their future needs, or they struggle to really keep up with the important expenses, be it home loans, car financing, school fees, and even food, because we are really in an environment where we know that consumers are even struggling to put food on the table. That, being in a situation like that would definitely impact on your mental well-being, because it might create stress, it might create feelings of depression, it might also cause anxiety. You might end up not sleeping well because you worry about how am I going to feed my children tomorrow morning? So there's a very firm connection between our mental well-being and, our financial well-being. And on the other hand, if you look at, depression, you talked about the fact that you sometimes overeat when you are experiencing low mood. The same might happen that when people are experiencing low mood, they might find ways of elevating their, mood. We do know that dopamine, it's a feel-good hormone. It goes higher when we do, activities that bring us pleasure. So for others, it could actually be shopping. So we do know that, you can go out and buy a pair of shoes or a handbag, and that might actually, elevate or improve your mood. But we do know that those activities, it's very transient. You feel good, and then the next day you start feeling, you start feeling guilty because you realize that you overspend. It's not something that you plan for. But in adverse severe mental health diagnosis like bipolar mood disorder, we do know that in the manic phase of bipolar, people can present with impulsivity, which sometimes can manifest as compulsive buying, where people just go out, swipe their credit card, being generous, spending copious amounts of money, which they ordinarily would not do. So there's definitely a very intricate link, Maya, between financial well-being and mental well-being. So just to recap, mental illness can sometimes manifest as overexpenditure, and people with underlying mental illness can also have spending habits that in that are meant to make them feel better. But the other side also applies, where people might have mental health challenges due to the financial state. So definitely they're intricately connected.
And Dr. Laseva, as you were speaking, I was reminded about Sun Care. You may remember her. She won a couple of years ago the Money Makeover Challenge. And she was such a good example of this mental well-being. So when she actually joined, she was suffering from depression. But by the end, she was going to gym. She had lost weight. She was eating healthily. She was actually off her antidepressants because I suppose whether it started off as a mental wellness or financial wellness, once you start taking control of some aspect of your life, it must give you a very positive sort of feedback. So what kind of tips would you say to someone who's maybe listening to this saying, I'm feeling some of these things? Like what can I do?
So, that's absolutely, and I do remember Samkin, and she really did well. It would be great to know, a follow on and see how she's doing. I think it's important, Maya, that firstly, people should not self-diagnose. I know it's very easy to go into Google and type in your symptoms, and Google spews out the diagnosis. So, a clinical diagnosis of depression, anxiety, bipolar mood disorder, or any psychiatric diagnosis requires a clinical assessment by a qualified medical professional. So that's important. I would really implore everyone that's listening to this webinar that seek medical assistance. So if you are suffering with symptoms that point towards a medical or a mental health condition, rather seek help. So that's the first thing. And then the second thing is we do know that there is a link between exercise and good mental health. So and I mean a lot of people, and I mean even now we know psychiatrists now as part of management of depression and anxiety, one of the things that they are now prescribing over and above psychotherapy and medication is exercise. So exercise, when we exercise, our bodies produce the feel-good hormones. We talked about dopamine, we talked about serotonin. So when we exercise, our body's ability to produce these feel-good hormones is optimized. So that's why a lot of people would say that, after doing my 1 hour at the gym, I feel energized, I feel good, and it elevates my mood. So exercise is a very important thing, when we, to help us manage stress and also to build our resilience. Because one of the things we know now, Maya, is mental ill health is our next pandemic. We've just navigated COVID 3 years ago over the 3 year period. But we know that post-COVID, the World Health Organization estimates that two in three adults will have a mental health condition in their lifetime. And pre-COVID, this number was one in four. So we really, need to think about how we capacitate ourselves or how we raise awareness around mental health challenges. So exercise is important. Secondly, a healthy diet. So I am not, an advocate of, cutting certain food, groups in our diet. I believe believe that, you know, a balanced nutrition, it's the way to go. More and more we're seeing that, you know, plant-based proteins, you know, increasing our intake of plant-based proteins also adds to healthier nutrition, and that also helps with mental health. And we talked about how our mental health is linked to our financial well-being, but more so our mental health is actually linked to our physical well-being. So you cannot have mental health without physical well-being, and the other you know, side of the coin also applies. So healthy nutrition is quite important. Sleep is very important. I think we're starting to see that, you know, adults who do not get 6 to 8 hours of sleep, you know, consistently are at the risk of high stress levels, burnout, anxiety, and depression. So sleep is very important. And the fourth thing that most of us, you know, might not, you know, engage in, it's mindfulness, you know, simple habits that really help us manage stress as it happens. So breathing exercises, stretches, having a gratitude journal, you know, finding ways of coping, you know, with stress. Because what we know is that we are not in control of our external environment. Change is a given. But what we have control of is how we react to that external environment as it changes. And our ability to do so really sits in how we manage our emotions. Because if we manage our emotions, if we manage how we react to that, you know, if you're feeling depressed, you don't have to go shopping. You can go for a walk. You know, you can listen to music. So those are some of the more healthier and positive ways of dealing with stress and anxiety and depression in the immediate period. So those are some of the tips, Maya. You do not have to break a bank balance and join the gym. All you need, I mean, most of us can do with an hour of walking, you know, every day. That's adequate exercise. Spending time in nature, we're starting to see the positive impact that has on increasing our mood and helping us with manage stress. And play, I mean, for those that have children, you know, running around with the kids outside for 30 minutes, that also will leave you out of breath, and really that's adequate exercise that adults need.
And you're ticking lots of boxes with that, because now the children are looked after, they feel they've got your attention, you're Absolutely. Getting your exercise in. And I thought it was interesting your point about nature, because I know there's so many studies that actually show that we absorb certain microbes from plants. So if we walk in Absolutely. Forest, walk in nature. So there's a real double benefit. And also I've been reading books on all of these things, you know, making sure I stay healthy. And actually very intensive exercise is not necessary. In fact, if you are very stressed, going for a walk and maybe more moderate exercise can actually be more beneficial. So I think it's important that we don't sort of think, oh, exercise, now I have to go and run 20 kilometers. You can literally can just be about a walk, and going for a walk instead of having a glass of wine is the one that I try and try.
Look, Maya, is there red wine, you know, a glass of red wine has the antioxidants that we need, you know, for good cardiovascular health. So if you can do both, then you are winning. Yeah.
Well, maybe it's go for a walk, then have a glass of wine rather than sitting on the couch and having two glasses of wine. So we're all about moderation here. And another point I thought was also really interesting for me is this dopamine thing when we go shopping. And it's actually caused not by the owning the item, it's caused by the anticipation. So the idea of shopping. I mean, even now, I mean, if I think, oh, maybe I should go and buy, you know, something, I get a little bit excited about it, right? That's the excitement. But then you own it, you put it in your cupboard, and it's like, So it is about finding ways to kind of explain. And I often try and do a visualization past that moment. So mine is maybe let me go buy myself a lunch bar. Okay, I eat that. How am I going to feel afterwards? So I actually do the whole mind thing, and I think I'm probably not going to feel that great. So it is, you know what, it's hard, it's challenging, but yeah. Little things, little steps. We're all about little steps on Moneymaker.
No, you're so spot on, Maya, because, I mean, even neuroscience have shown that absolutely it's the anticipation. And that's why, I mean, I think we are As women, we love shopping. I think a lot of us would have experienced that buyer's remorse, that you anticipate that owning that small red handbag is going to make you the happiest woman in the world, and you eventually get that bag and you wonder, why am I not feeling as happy as I did, when I or how I anticipated I would feel. So definitely, that's why there's a lot of remorse that comes with impulsive buying, because it's the anticipation. So we need to find ways, actually, of getting that dose of dopamine. And I've talked about exercise being one of those. And then secondly, it's understanding activities that bring us joy. And I think a lot of us, it's spending quality time with loved ones, be it our family members, friends. So it's really understanding, without spending money, what are those activities that really increase your dopamine levels? Because you can do so without really spending a lot of money. And taking a walk does not require a lot of money. You just need good working shoes, of which most of us already have, and they're gathering dust. So it's about doing things like that. And the other thing I wanted to add on exercise, Maya, is we used to think that we need of solid exercise uninterrupted, but we're starting to see that you can actually do your exercise in chunks. You can do 20 minutes in the morning, 20 minutes around lunchtime, and 20 minutes in the evening. So all that, those they add up. So even for those who feel that they are time poor, you can still incorporate the requisite amount of exercise in small chunks.
It is amazing how much studies show how important exercise is. It's probably the number one lifestyle change
Absolutely.
you need to make. So very, really important. But I want to come back to just to end off around the importance of an accountability partner. Obviously within Money Makeover, one of the reasons I believe that our contestants are always so successful and actually remain very successful after the challenge is because they had an accountability partner, not only in their financial advisor, but in the entire South African public who are following and watching them. So is that is just from a psychological point of view, whether it is about going exercising, not spending, whatever it is, how important is it? And how do you find that person?
Look, I think accountability partner, it's an absolute must. I think it's one of those ingredients that will set you up for success. So if you if one decides to go on a diet, it's always important that you inform those that live with you, because they will hold you accountable. As a mom of four boys, if I tell my kids that I'm going on a diet, the minute I just dip into the cookie jar, they all. I think it's important to have an accountability partner, because it keeps you honest. And I think human beings, by our very nature, we want to succeed. We do not want to let others down. We might let ourselves down, but I think the idea of letting others down really keeps us accountable. So I think it's important to have an accountability partner who will walk the journey with you, to feel you are not alone. And I think it creates that support structure, the support network that will be there to allow you to succeed. And it must be somebody that firstly you are close with, you engage with quite frequently. You cannot have an accountability partner that you see once a month. So it must be somebody that you are in regular contact with. And secondly, it's somebody whose feedback you would take on board. So there must be a mutually respectful relationship where when they give feedback, you'll take it on board. But studies have shown over and over again, Maya, that people who do well with the exercise programs, be it you are training for a marathon or a big race, people that do well are those that have partners that check in on them and say, okay, let's do this. And then secondly, with the increase in wearables in technology, you see that people that engage in group training, where you look at other people's daily exercise and activities, those people are more motivated and they're more likely actually to continue with their routine than those that go solo. So definitely there's science behind this, and I would really encourage everyone who's listening out there that if you want to go either on a mental wellness program or a physical wellness program or a financial wellness program where you want to save money, get an accountability partner and be open with them and honest with where you are, what your goals are, and the role that you want them to play on your journey. And I really believe that it's one of those factors that will increase your opportunities of success, whatever the journey you are on.
And I was thinking about a financial accountability partner. If you don't have a financial advisor, it's actually make sure you choose that friend of yours who's good with money. Because you always,
Absolutely.
if you've got friends who just go off and spend and don't want, those are probably, they're nice to see, but they're not the right accountability partner. You're going to find that one friend. You say, you know what, you're really good with your money. Can you, I want to,
Yes.
and be open about it. I think that's one of the benefits of Money Makeover. People that are our candidates have to tell all their friends and family because they're in the media, and they're encouraged to continue the path. They're saying, I want to get financially well, and that's what I'm doing. And people are always there to support you and back you. So I think that's
Absolutely.
really important. So get your accountability partner, look after your mental health and your mental wealth. And yeah, it's really, really important. And I think just to sum up, mental health, financial well-being, they go hand in hand, and neglecting one is going to impact on the other. So whether you're struggling with financial stress or you're looking to improve your mental health, take the time, invest in both, and prioritize your well-being.
Agreed. Agreed, Maya. And I really want to take this opportunity to wish all the contestants well on this journey. And I'll be rooting for all of them.
Yeah,
And thank you for having me.
yes.
It's an absolute pleasure to spend time with you, Maya, and continue with the great work that you're doing.
Absolutely. And we've got an awesome group. Already the amazing changes that we're starting to share that they're really going through. So yes, Dr. Sekgo, and thank you to Absa for continuing to support Money Makeover.